The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the type for saving.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show, you know the number for that. Still no Twitch, trying to get it fixed. And if you missed the first hour, good stuff. Yeah, you know, I was going to come in today and say, you know, man, I probably want to take a couple days off because I'm starting to worry about getting burned out because I haven't really taken a day off since, you know, outside of the occasional holiday. I was thinking about this for almost a year now because it was June that I went to Vegas and then Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
And then since then, I guess I maybe took an extra day when we came back from England, but that was more just because, well, no, I think we were back on air that next day. We were just late, as I recall. So I was like, I need a break. And then do the first hour of the show, and I'm like, I don't need a damn break. I'm having too much fun. And I just downloaded a bunch of music, which always cheers me up. So, Aaron, you just caused me to spend about $25. Justin says, you guys remember during the last protest, the white kid that tried to bomb the Dowling statue at Herman Park. That's one of the ones they're taking down. I didn't realize, I didn't hear that story.
I didn't know that happened either.
So, 713, Fred, what's the best way?
I live in a bubble.
Well, I've paid attention to a lot of stuff. I don't remember that in particular because that's so much happened in such a short time.
I live in a bubble where black people and white people live harmoniously together, and we all don't care about statues.
Yeah, I didn't realize there was a Dowling statue there, and I'm sure there's Confederate statues all over the city. I've noticed statues, but if it was a guy on a horse, maybe that's what it was, because there's a lot of guy on horse statues.
The guy on horse statue down Memorial Park area, like the big guy on horse, but like I think it's Sam Houston, right?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, and what's the one?
Well, saw they had a bunch of stuff. I was down there yesterday,
yeah,
and there was a bunch of scaffolding built up around it, and I was like, are they taking him down? Are they removing Sam Houston?
Was he a bad guy? I just thought he was a drunk. That's my kind of guy.
I don't know. I mean,
technically he was a slave owner.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Are we going to change the name of our city?
I've got to cut him loose. What about that huge statue of him in Huntsville?
I think that would have to come down too, but that's going to be a difficult task for Antifa.
Yeah, they're going to probably.
That's
Antifa or the right wing group that pretends to be Antifa.
Either one,
there.
It's going to be a tough task.
What's the one on? Heading toward the medical center, kind of over by Herman Park, where the circle is. There's a guy on a horse there.
That's the one I'm talking about.
Okay. Not Memorial. Medical center. There's like a circle area going towards Rice on Main Street.
Like right by the zoo, right?
Yeah.
But that's the one I'm talking
about.
Okay,
yeah. That's Sam Houston then. All right. 713 asks, Fred, what's the best way to drink Falcon 9? I have a bottle in the fridge. I need to know if I should drink it cold or take it out and get it to room temperature.
You drink it chilled, not cold.
Not cold, no. It's basically, I would say about 5 to 6 degrees below room temperature is best. If it's too cold, it doesn't taste as good. And it's funny because when we were bottling it, like I'd get it right out of there and it was cold. And it's like you take the first couple sips, like, oh, so you had to let the beer sit for a little bit. So, but yeah, I would say chilled.
I would go with 55 degrees.
I'd go a little higher than that. Like 60, 62.
Okay.
So I hope you enjoy it. Almost everybody who's had it loves it. So, yeah, good beer. Can't get it anymore unless you're getting on the black market.
Excuse me.
506. Well done.
So we didn't talk about this the other day, but are you familiar with Travis Johnson? Former Texans defensive lineman.
We did
the drunk show together.
We did the drunk show together. Very funny dude.
Well, Travis Johnson has been, he was on the first episode. He's trying to make real social change. He was the first episode of, apparently, the McNair family is hosting a conversation about racism and social injustice and how it's not right to compare your athletes to
inmates.
Yeah, it's not a good thing. Not a good call. But he was the first one on, and he talked about the way, you know, he had some run-ins with the police growing up in California. But he's doing a good thing, trying to make social change. And then he tweeted yesterday, and it's a kind of an uncomfortable tweet. Houston Olympic boxer Jenny Fuchs tested positive for prohibited substance by USADA, and it was determined that it was ingested by her without fault or negligence, and she won't be facing, you know, any more infractions. And they determined that she got this substance into her body from unprotected sex. And Travis Johnson, who just earned points for being kind of woke, then said, and by the way, if you have a kid, you may want to turn this down for a second, because this is it can be
uncomfortable.
It can be uncomfortable.
3, 2, 1.
So she swallowed when she should have spit, or did the club get shot up and no one passed the rag and it entered the bloodstream? I'm lost. So semen carries all substances in the body? Wow. That's a really uncomfortable...
Not wise, guys.
And then I don't know if he caught much grief for it, because that he tweeted that this morning. But he came back, and that was a quote tweet on Mark Berman's story about the boxer. He came back just an hour ago and said, so to put it in English for you, who the freak believes that she ingested PED-filled semen, or how much was it? Because now that's going to be an excuse for the entire Russian Federation. But it's...
I honestly think he's trying to be funny. And
that's not funny. You think it's funny?
I think I don't get mad at people when they're trying to be funny and something doesn't work.
Okay.
So I don't find that very offensive, frankly. It's just funny. It's an attempt to be funny. And
it's cringy, I guess, is the word I would say.
Yeah. But it's not something I would tweet out. I'll just put that out there. Would I be skeptical of someone claiming that that's the reason they got popped for PEDs? Yes. Of course, because I don't trust anyone who says they got popped for PEDs when they make up stories about tainted meat and things like that. Maybe this is what that was, tainted meat.
Could be.
Either way, I don't buy it, but I don't care. If you got caught, you got caught. What are you doing getting caught now, by the way?
I don't know.
I'm just curious how that happens. Couple things from the text line. 3346 wants to come help with the Twitch for free. I have nothing but time. Nothing you can do until the camera's fixed. It's not the Twitch that's the problem. It's the camera. It's broken. So,
per NBC, this is good news. Ben Roethlisberger is planning on unblocking everyone from his Twitter.
Saw that account. Yeah,
that includes us.
Yeah, I can't wait to not read his tweets.
Are you blocked by Ben Roethlisberger?
I think last time I checked, like 6 months ago, I am not.
Congratulations. Let's let me see if I still no, that's Ben Rothenberg. What's his handle?
Underscore Big Ben 7.
Underscore at the beginning, that's odd.
Yeah.
Underscore Big Ben 7. It appears that
still blocked?
Still blocked.
That's because you called him rapey. And I just happened to be on the same show with you, so I got blocked.
Yeah, you caught some of my.
But whoever was doing this had to be listening to shows all over the country to block people. It's not like that went national.
I think he just had a PR person who was just searching his name and anybody who tweeted anything.
I never tweeted about the guy ever.
I don't know.
So, I mean, he had to hear something we said on the show, or the PR person did. Because there's no way. I've never tweeted about Ben Roethlisberger. Okay, 3-2, I think you win the text line today. I don't know about her story, but it seems hard to swallow. 281 says Fred should keep his mask on and the Twitch camera won't break. I did not break the Twitch camera. It happened over the weekend. If it wasn't going to happen, if I wasn't going to break it like a couple weeks ago when I was in here really looking homeless,
what is this thing wrapped around your neck?
This is my mask.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just pull it up. See?
Okay.
Yeah. This is my V for Vendetta mask.
Got you.
Which, yeah, this is the most comfortable one because I can just pop it right up and over.
It's like a scarf.
Yeah, and
In the military, we called those neck gaiters.
Yeah.
And basically, I mean, people would turn them into silly hats, or you could use them to stay warm. I never had much use for them, but, you know, I guess some people did. But there was also never a worldwide pandemic going on, or I would have maybe used it for that.
Yeah, well, that's what I use it for.
Yeah. Let me tell you about TGS Insurance, Fred. If you own your home and you could use some extra dough, TGS could help you out with that. They are growing, thanks to our listeners, and you can actually save money on your home insurance really, really easily. They've invented a system that's already shopped the home insurance prices for every home in our area. They know what you can be saving, and it's time for you to start getting that money. Just grab your phone right now. Text the word money to 232323. They're going to ask for your address. You reply back with that. You'll get a full quote and proposal with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. This company, these savings are real. They've got a nearly perfect online rating, over 1,000 reviews, and the average customer is saving nearly $900 a year. And there's no need to wait for your renewal because they're going to save you money now. They're going to get you refunded on your old policy right away so you can start feeling those savings now. They're open right now. Text the word money to 232323. Start saving today with TGS Insurance. Call my bluff and I'm a spanking. Yeah, call them niggas and whoever they got hanging with them. I'm a die of old age whenever I die. Don't do walk down on that new the drive by. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
I don't know how I could explain that in a cooler and more doper fashion.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. You guys got me laughing today. Thank you. Needed a fun day. But, yeah.
Always fun.
Nothing like tainted meat. Just leave it at that. Did you see, this kind of threw me off this morning when I saw this headline. NASCAR driver says he's leaving at the end of the season, citing disagreement with flag policy.
Yeah, and he's not like a NASCAR truck driver.
Well, not only that, he's a part-time competitor in the truck series. Through 18 races over the span of 3 years, he has one top 10 finish, along with no wins and no poles. So this is one to...
So basically he's using this as an excuse to stop losing.
Yeah, and it's funny because when you put NASCAR driver in there, the first thing you think is, oh, which one of these guys... No, his name is Ray Ciccarelli. I bet you the only person that's ever heard of this guy is Trey. I would be Probably. Willing to bet that. And he posted on Facebook, well, it's been a fun ride and dream come true. But if this is the direction NASCAR's headed, we will not participate after the 2020 season is over. I don't believe in kneeling during anthem, nor taking people right to fly whatever flag they love. I could care less about the Confederate flag.
So wait a minute. You're all about the freedom to fly whatever flag you want, but not to kneel.
Right.
Oh. Says, that's interesting.
I could care less about the Confederate flag, but there are people... PPL. Just spell people. Come on, man.
Well, maybe he had a certain amount.
No, it's Facebook. You can write whatever you want.
Oh, okay.
But there are people that do, and it doesn't make them a racist. All you are doing is bleeping one group to cater to another, and I ain't spend the money we are to participate in any political BS, so everything is for sale. I ain't spend the money we are to... So basically, it's a guy who's spent money so he could race in the truck series, and he sucks at it. But yeah, everything's for sale. Might buy a truck. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Maybe race in one of these series.
Yeah.
Crash in the first turn. Die. Be pretty cool. So isn't it NASCAR's right as a private company to ban whatever they want? Absolutely.
Yeah. But it's his right to not race for them anymore.
And hey, I've said all along, everybody has the right to whatever opinion they want and whatever choice they want to make within reason. But, you know, that's his choice. So it seems like a troll story. That guy's name is his name is not racist. It's Ray. Ray Cicerelli.
Yeah, but I mean, you can't go racist. Really.
Yeah, it's got to be fake, right? That guy can't really exist.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've seen it in like 4 different places, though. Trace sent a picture. Who does he look like to you guys? He looks like fat Jason Statham a little bit.
Yeah.
That'd be one thing. So I knew Trey had heard of him. So yeah, he does exist. Ray Cicerelli.
Trey just posted something on Twitter.
Yeah.
About the 10 greatest living guitar players.
Oh, no. It's going to be the worst list ever, I can just tell you. I love Trey. And by the way, I did Trey's podcast. He tweeted it out earlier. I was his first guest. But his music taste is the worst I've ever seen.
I don't know if it's the...
It's the worst. But go ahead. Go ahead. Let's hear him.
Robin Guthrie, 10.
Okay.
You no thoughts on that?
No, he's not top 10.
Okay. Robin Guthrie is he's a Scottish dude. I don't know how much I know about him, honestly. So that seems like an underground hip thing that Trey would know about that would make, you know.
Yeah. To me, Trey would like list every member of Modest Mouse and bands like in Wilco.
Yeah. But he doesn't. He's got some.
All right, well, let's hear him.
He's got some in here that are you've actually heard of. Number 9, Jimmy Page.
Too low.
I think way too low.
Yeah. Jimmy Page is top 5. I mean, you can argue bottom of the top 5, but he's top 5.
Number 8, Kirk Hammett of Metallica.
Solid, not better than Page, but very solid.
I agree. I'm a fan. Number 7, Pete Townsend.
Ahead of Page.
That part is bothersome. Yeah,
I mean, I don't know. It was always. No, I loved his guitar because I have that same guitar.
Right.
And I love The Who and I love their songs. But
I love The Who.
Yeah, but I mean, it wasn't. He wasn't a guy who was out there ripping great leads. I mean, they write. This is where it gets tricky because he wrote some terrific riffs and some great songs. But to me, when you're talking about how skilled a guy is, it comes down to how good was his leads. That and he's the worst singer in the world.
I may take grief for this, but I'm not a fan of Pink Floyd, but he's got David Gilmour at number 6.
Yeah, too high. Again, good musician.
I don't hate Pink Floyd, but I don't think of Pink Floyid as like one of the greatest bands of all time.
I like Pink Floyid when I'm stoned. That's what that music's for.
It's there are people who think that he is fantastic and
respectfully disagree.
Number 5 is Kevin Shields. You may know him as the guitar player and vocalist for the band My Bloody Valentine.
Yeah.
A lot of people have Kevin Shields ranked ahead of Jimmy Page on all-time great guitarists.
He is good. I've heard a lot of his, but I don't know that I'm putting him up there.
Number 4, Eric Clapton.
Too high. Eric Clapton, overrated.
I like Eric Clapton as a guitar player.
I like him as a musician. Again, it's like Pete Townsend. I love his music, but, you know, he's... His skill as a guitarist is overrated, if that's a fair way to put it.
Number 3, Lindsey Buckingham.
Get out of here.
What,
he'd be in a top 20 list, maybe? The 3? Come on. This is horrible.
I do love that band, but not what I would go with as you know, one of my top, I guess I wouldn't think of him as my top 10.
Again, a talented guy, but
very talented. John Frusciante from the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
No.
Number two.
He's the worst musician in that band. That's terrible. That entire band is bass oriented because of Flea. Everything revolves around Flea. That's a horrible. That guy's not top 2000. I told you it'd be a terrible list.
And number one, which I'm actually a big fan of, as you know, Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine, amongst several other projects.
He's probably the most talented guy of the last 20 years.
Oh, I think.
I think.
I mean, you may go back 30 years.
Well, I guess it is 30 years now, right? Because once the grunge thing happened, it kind of, you went away from having guitars being as important. And Morello was one of the first that kind of brought it back.
So some notable omissions.
Well, there's thousands of notable omissions.
Keith Richards.
Not top 10 for me.
Okay.
Good, but...
this one I think you'll certainly agree with. Jeff Beck.
Another one probably doesn't crack my top 10.
Ooh, okay.
I mean, he's close, but he's not cracking my top 10.
This is one that I'm sure you'll agree with. Edward Van Halen?
Edward Van Halen is the top five. I mean, you can... There's some things that... I mean, he changed a whole generation. He's top three at worst. I don't even know if you remember when I did this about a year and a half ago. I went through and did I tried to make it as scientific as possible about greatest guitarists and looked at hits, looked at memorable riffs, and a whole bunch of criteria and did a number ranking, and Brian May came out number one.
Okay.
Brian May should be on this list.
Not on his list.
Yeah, terrible.
A couple of guys that I like a lot who did not make his list. I like Stephen Stills as a guitar player. I like Joe Walsh. You know I'm a big Joe Walsh guy. I like him as a songwriter as a guitar player.
And I separate the guitar work from general music because you can make great music without great guitar.
Mm-hmm.
U2 is a good example. That guy can't play a lick, but they make great music.
What about Carlos Santana?
Carlos Santana is extremely talented. Certainly in my top 10.
And but again,
probably back into the top 10.
And a guy that I always say gets overlooked as a guitar player, even though I think, like, if you listen to the music, he's incredibly, incredibly talented, but we just have this douchebag mentality about him, is John Mayer.
Yeah, no, I think people recognize he's pretty good. He's no Morello, which means, and Morello's the only guy from this entire...
But it's also like blues guitar versus, you know.
But
like,
still, that's part of it. I'll give you a name that nobody's ever heard of. Jake Pitts, Black Veil Brides.
I've certainly never heard of him.
That dude, play some Black Veil Brides going out in the end, do the guitar riff from there. He's pretty good. But my top five, and I'm not going to give you order because I have to go back and look at all the work I put into it. Brian May, Eddie Van Halen, Eric Johnson, Randy Rhodes, Jimmy Page.
What about Ritchie Blackmore?
Ritchie Blackmore was really good for a long time. And again, as an influencer.
Yeah.
He's, I'd have Hendrix is six probably.
Ooh, that seems low. But I mean, he's dead.
I know.
So that doesn't even count for Trey's list.
But yeah.
All right.
I'm going to throw one out that's a completely different genre. But if you watch him, Brad Paisley.
I've heard that, and
he is unbelievable.
I'd have to hear a
especially live to watch.
Yeah, I'd have to hear a solo.
So you mentioned, Slash is a top 10 guy.
Yeah,
and then I have to my last one would
some of the masturbatory guitar solo guys of the 80s. I'm not as high on
Yngwie Malmsteen. He was pretty badass.
Yeah,
Malmsteen, Joe Satriani, Steve Vai are all in that kind of group.
Yeah,
but. Yeah, and I know being in Texas and not having
Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Stevie Ray Vaughan's going to piss
people
off.
What about Billy Gibbons?
Billy Gibbons, and again, fantastic musician
and a blues rock guy. Yeah,
and
you talk about a sound that is really, like, you know the sound when you hear it. You know who it is. He's still alive.
Yeah, this is the guy I was telling you about from Black Veil Brides.
Oh, Trey. Stick to NASCAR.
Yeah. Give me your top five NASCAR drivers, Trey. All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Somebody brought up a name.
This is Brad Paisley, by the way.
Yes. That's Eddie Van Paisley is who that is.
Brad Van Paisley.
Somebody asked, what about Sin from Avenged Sevenfold? That guy's really good, too. But I just realized that it's just, since these are living, Randy Rhoads not alive. So, X through him. Jimi Hendrix not alive. X through him.
Yeah. Tyler brought up Gary Clark Jr., who is one of my favorite like musicians, period, right now. But he is a beast. So, I would put him on my top 10 living.
See, now I've
put Zach Brown on it.
Zach Brown, really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
He actually started as a metal guitarist.
Yeah.
Before he moved to country.
Tyler also says John 5, Rob Zombie's guitar player.
He's pretty good. Yeah.
My younger son loves Rob Zombie and White Zombie to the point where when his baseball games start up. All the kids have walkout songs, and his is Dracula by.
Oh, that's a good one.
So
that's a good one.
My wife had to make sure that the version that like it was a clean version,
right?
And the team mom was like, "That's awesome. I love it because I think all the other kids are doing like Bob the Builder theme song and a bunch of crap that 8-year-olds normally like." And he's going to be walking out to Rob Zombie.
I love it. I love it. One of the things I did when I put that list together, and I don't even know where the hell it is now. One of my criteria was how hard was it for me to learn to play a particular lead that the guy did.
Okay.
And the hardest guy for me was always Eddie Van Halen. Mainly because, and it wasn't just his leads, it was some of the chords he was doing. My hand, I don't have big hands for a guy my size.
Mm-hmm.
He must have ridiculously long fingers.
You and the president have that in common?
But everything else is tremendous, AJ. It's the best. It doesn't have anything to do with anything else.
I think your small hands make the other parts
look that's not
tremendous.
How it works. But he was always the hardest for me to duplicate. I could figure it out. It would take me a long time. But that was one of the things I used to judge. And, the guys who were just sort of the rip-and-go guys that we're talking about, Vivian Campbell, who's now with Def Leppard, he was really good. I'll tell you, an underrated guy, because they were a real pop band more than a rock band, was Neil Sean from Journey. He played some leads that were really difficult for me to figure out. Because back then, we didn't have the internet where I could look up everything,
right.
In a heartbeat. When I was learning these songs, you had to wait for a magazine to come out that would have the tablature in it, and then you could do it. So I would learn everything by ear. I would listen to it and then duplicate it. And I'd most songs, especially in the 80s, are three chords and then a lead. I could listen to two or three times and nail it. But some of these were just really intense. And Eddie Van Halen was always the hardest for me. Yes, what about Jack White?
Jack White's pretty good.
He's pretty good.
And that's another one of those bands where you hear, but I really think like the White Stripes especially was a drum based band. Like when you hear the drums in that band, that's when you know it's a White Stripes song.
Plus it's a chick.
Yeah, that helps.
Yeah.
But Jack White is pretty good.
Yeah, he's not gonna make my top 20 list, but I've seen him in concert. He shows more in concert than he does on his songs, which is also fairly common. There's a lot of guys who do that. which is also kind of, I think, pretentious. It's just like, oh, I'm going to show you that I can play. I just don't do it on the records. And, there were some, I just don't listen to enough country to know which of these guys are good, because you have to see them live.
Yeah, a lot of people are naming some country guys that I mean, just not all that familiar with. I'm not a country music guy. I'm not opposed to country music. I don't have disdain for it.
I've said I love country music live. I enjoy almost every concert I've been to that's a country concert. Has always been, but it's not like I go around listening to country otherwise. But I'll also, if I'm just out and I hear it, I'll enjoy it. So I don't know. Maybe I should start paying more attention. It's not something I'm going to seek out. Like, as soon as I heard that band he played earlier, I go, dude, I'm buying their songs. I've never done that with a country band ever. So,
Jason Braddock says, wait, what? AJ's 8-year-old son's Little League has walk-up songs for all their batters. Yes. I think it's voted on by the teams, whether or not it's decided by the teams whether or not they want them. My older son is 12. They don't have that. 90% of the teams that they play against have walk-up music.
Lamont asked, do you know how to read music or do you play by ear? It's funny. Like, I know how to read music because I was in band for several years. But when it came to guitar, I would always play by ear. Okay. I would always pick up what the guys were doing and visually. And what was kind of cool was that was when videos were starting to come out. And there were times you could actually pick up what the chord progressions were by watching the videos when they weren't just faking it, which is what everybody does now. Like, you watch them play, they're just strumming. They're not actually playing the chords. But back then, they used to. So I learned a lot from watching and listening. And I still do that. If I want to learn a song, I sit down. Well, now it's real easy. You go online. There's the chord progressions, the tablature, and all that stuff. And so I know where to start. And then the rest, I'll just pick up from there. So 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. And I'm getting a bunch of names that I've never heard of. So, and yes, Dimebag Darrell is definitely
dead.
He's one of my all timers, but dead.
Didn't count.
Right. Have to be alive. So, 713-780 ESPN. Somebody said Jack White was thought of highly enough by Jimmy Page that he sat in a room and was taught things about the guitar that Jimmy didn't know. He deserved to be in the top 10. He's still not as good as Jimmy Page. I'm sorry. He's not a top 10 guitarist. He's good. But this is one thing where I will die on this hill. The 80s produced, while you might not have liked the music, there were guys who were not even top 50 guitarists that are better than anybody that's out there right now. I mean, that whole era, that's what it was. It was a shred era, man. And you want to just talk about pure skill? The guy for White Lion, like, nobody's ever heard of White Lion. He's better than any guitarist going right now in terms of just actual skill. So, yeah, Nuno Betancourt of Extreme, that's another good one. There's a bunch of those cats. And then A32 mentions
Beto O'Rourke?
No. Beto doesn't quite make it. Fred Fowler doesn't make the list. Too bad. Tony Iommi of Black Sabbath, that's another guy. So, to me, it's one of those discussions. It's like who you like, right? Now, there's some music that I love. Like, I love Shinedown. It's not a guitar band. I mean, it really isn't. They have some,
Sometimes goodbye.
You gotta pull out that one bleeping song.
That's their biggest hit.
I know, and it's gone. It's dead. Move on.
No,
they've got 500 really good songs, and then you gotta do that.
You're known for your biggest hit. Period.
No, you're not.
You kind of are.
No, not true.
Do you think Rebecca Black will ever make a song bigger than Friday? No, she's made a bunch of other songs, but Rebecca Black's always the girl who sang Friday.
See, Guns N' Roses, always going to be known for about 20 good songs. Come on.
Yeah, but they don't have like one song that got played 10 times more than their next biggest song.
What?
Like, Guns N' Roses has several songs that have gotten massive amounts of airplay. Like, what's the next biggest song that Shinedown's ever done?
Aaron, look that up. Look up the plays. Have that. Like, I guarantee you there's going to be...
I bet there's a huge gap between Sometimes Goodbye is a Second Chance and whatever the next song is.
All right. So in the top 10 on Spotify.
Okay.
Second Chance, 120 million listens.
Okay.
Sound of Madness, 113 million.
Okay. Ah, see?
What's the Sound of Madness? I've never even, I don't know if
it's
I've heard
it. It's a great freaking song. It's a title track from.
Oh, I have heard
that. Yeah, you've heard that. Yeah, we play that sometime.
Okay, what's next?
Do the carry the one. Cut the Cord would be next with 84 million.
Okay, there's the drop off. Yeah. So it,
wow, so.
So they're two massive hits, but they're still their biggest hit. What's the Guns N' Roses rankings? My guess is Paradise City. Like, if I said.
No, Welcome to the Jungle.
You think so?
Yeah, I would.
I guess when I think of like Guns N' Roses, what's their biggest hit? I would have said I would say Paradise City, but you might be right.
Wrong, wrong.
Oh,
November Rain.
Oh, I hope not.
Oh yeah, Sweet Child of Mine.
Yeah, good call.
754 million streams.
What's the drop off to number two?
Number two would be Welcome to the Jungle at 487 million.
Oh, that is a massive drop-off. Yeah,
there you go. That's what they're known for, Sweet Child of Mine.
Well, it works for me.
You just proved your theory.
Yeah, I guess they are.
Third would be Paradise City at 452.
Okay.
And then November Rain at 390.
And maybe unpopular opinion, November Rain's not that great of a song. I mean, it's a good song. It's too long. It's obnoxiously long.
I think my favorite song of theirs is Estranged from Use Your Illusion.
Okay.
It's kind of a that or 14 years. I mean, I love all their hits, but they've got some, you know, songs that didn't make it big that were really good. I mean, there's hardly anything of theirs that I hated. So Easy is one of my favorite karaoke songs too.
Yeah.
Of course, I haven't done karaoke in like a year and a half, so I don't know if I can still hit the notes at the end, but who knows. A lot of people agreeing with me on Shinedown, 832, Shinedown blows. I don't care. I don't care if you like them or not.
Don't Cry is great, too, yeah.
Yeah, this song is badass. It's got about 10 different songs within one, too.
Yeah, it's a 9-minute, 24-second song.
But it doesn't bother me like November Rain does because they take it in so many different directions. So...
Lamont accusing me of being a rich white because my kids have walkout music.
You are a rich white.
I live in a single income household, Lamont. One income for four people and four animals. I'm not a rich white. I'm a struggling middle class white, to be honest.
One 7-figure income.
I wish. More like. I guess we're at 4 figures now with this recent pay cut.
Yeah, it's about that.
Yeah.
I don't know. 281, that's why you're on sports radio. You have no clue on music. Stick to sports, LOL.
Was he talking to me?
I don't know
you?
Who he's talking to. Guess what?
This isn't sports radio.
This is our whatever not. Radio we want.
It's just radio. Mm-hmm. It's regular radio.
And I've said all along, came from the 80s, man. That was... That and... I wanted to be a rock guitarist. That was my goal. I went and tried to do it. I failed miserably, but I appreciate the people who can do it. And you know what? How about you stick to not texting, because your musical taste probably sucks too. It's a personal thing. It's like, what kind of women do you like? I like alien women. I like bald Natalie Portman. And you go, oh, your taste in women sucks. Okay. That's good. Guess what? You can go get the fat chick down the block because she's yours. That's what you like. And Stevie Ray Vaughan hasn't been mentioned. Shame. He's dead,
It wasn't part of the game. He did get mentioned, too.
Besides, my buddy just texted me. This is Mosquito Talk Radio. So yeah, if you don't like it, suck it. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz.
Oh, that sounds great.
On ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz
on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back. This may be one of the guys that very few people outside of Texas have heard of. But he was amazing. Still is amazing, I guess. I haven't seen him in forever. Eric Johnson.
Yeah. I feel like everybody knows Eric, especially this song.
I hope everybody in Texas knows him.
Yeah.
Of all the people I've seen live, maybe the most magical performance I've ever seen out of a guitarist was him at Rockefeller's many years ago. And he was doing two shows, and I remember going to buy the tickets for the night show. This is back before you could go online and buy stuff. And I'm standing outside, and he's playing this particular song in the afternoon concert. And I was just mesmerized. I couldn't leave because you could hear it outside.
I didn't know he had other songs.
Yeah, he's got a bunch.
It's the only song.
He actually tried to sing on some, too. Which
Cliffs of Dover, if I'm not mistaken, the name of this song.
You are correct.
Yeah.
Hey, I've got some breaking news.
Go for it.
The Houston Astros have made a selection in the 2020 Major League Baseball draft.
Really?
Yes, sir. They have taken with the 72nd overall pick, the Astros select right-handed pitcher Alex Santos from Mount St. Michael Academy.
Okay.
In the Bronx. So, a New York pitcher. He was rated number 56 on the top 200 draft prospects list, and they got him at 72. That signifies value to me if you care about what scouts think. I don't, because baseball, it feels more than any other sport, is really a crapshoot.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And probably because it's more of a mental game than baseball or than basketball or football, so you never know how guys are going to handle the pressures and things like that, but it does seem like, you know,
I don't know if it's more mental than basketball or football.
I mean, like, the ups and downs can affect you more mentally. Like, you can get into a slump because of a mental thing.
I don't know. So can the Rockets. What was that, 0 for 23 on three-pointers?
Well,
it's just more condensed because sometimes it's within one game.
Or it could be that the Rockets are just a mediocre three-point shooting team that shoots more three-pointers than everyone else.
Yeah, but 0 for 23 is still...
That's a bad run.
That's what you would call a slump, AJ.
That's a bad run.
So, yeah, I don't know about that. I'm not gonna buy that necessarily. I think part of it is...
Well, I'll also say this. Baseball, unlike basketball and football, when you are a high draft pick, you still have to you have to live minor league baseball life. You don't go direct. You don't pass go.
And some guys can't handle that. Plus,
exactly.
In a lot of cases, I mean, these guys are using aluminum bats their entire life up until you start playing professional baseball, the Cape Cod League or whatever. And guess what? That's a change. Some guys never adjust. Some guys never. And plus, I think the reason baseball is so hard because you're drafting high schoolers and college guys, and you know, especially the high schoolers, they're supposed to be the ones that are supposed to be great. You just don't know if they're ever going to develop. Kyle Tucker. I mean, Kyle Tucker Williams was supposed to be fantastic, right? Maybe he will be, but I think it's more of a crapshoot just because you're dipping into a younger pool. When the NBA at least went to one and done, you quit seeing mistakes like Taj Gibson and stuff like that. Or Taj McDavid, excuse me. So I think that's part of it. I think it's a high school evaluation. And 281 was saying that he's a Rush fan. Put Alex in the top. Alex Lifeson's really good. That was one that I think I've told us before. The first time I nailed the solo from Free Will, that's when I thought I was badass.
Free Willy?
No, Free Will.
Oh.
Yeah. Somebody said, in high school, used to love playing November Rain on the jukebox to piss people off. Yeah, that'll do it. 832. It's funny hearing Fred get all butthurt about his list while he just said how much Juggalo Trey's list sucked. LOL. First off, if you're still using butthurt and you're over 16 years old, you might want to check your life, young man or woman, whichever. And it wasn't my list. I didn't have a list. I was mentioning guys that I would have on there.
By the way, with the 73rd pick Detroit just drafted.
Yeah.
They took Trey Cruz, who is the grandson of Jose Cruz.
There's still Cruises running around out there? Wow.
Third generation Jose Cruz into the draft. Jose Cruz, arguably the greatest Astro of all time. At least in the mid-1980s, he was arguably the greatest Astro of all time. Like for that span. But that's pretty cool. Three generations if he makes it to the big show.
Yeah. Yeah, well, good luck with that. Who drafted him?
The Detroit Tigers.
Oh, I kind of thought the Blue Jays were supposed to draft every son of former major leaguer.
I'll tell you what. I did read, I was reading how people felt about the draft. Here's the quote. The Blue Jays got the best player in the draft with the number 5 pick.
Yeah, you told me about that yesterday.
RJ Anderson ranked Vanderbilt super utility player Austin Martin as the best player in the entire class, but he was passed over with the top 4 picks. The Blue Jays weren't going to let him slip any further. Their great young position player core, Bo Bichette, Kevin Biggio, Vlad Jr., got that much better. They have some things to figure out on the mound, no doubt, but the Blue Jays have the making of a championship caliber lineup. They have to be over the moon that Martin fell to them.
Yeah, if they sign him. There were reports of teams that were going to draft unsignable guys so they could get picks next year.
There were reports of that.
Do we know who those were?
It was supposedly a top 10, a team that was picking in the top 10, so it could have been them. But yeah, I'm not sure exactly who it was, but I don't know if we'll know until until they don't sign or until we see somebody get like the absolute lowest possible offer that they could give.
Yeah,
we'll give you $6.
Well,
and
I mean,
a bus ticket.
There is like a certain amount that they like the guy qualifies for his slot, but the rumor is that that team is just going to offer him exactly that. And nobody, at least in the top 10, signs for exactly their slotted money. They sign for big-time bonuses. But, if you're the team that does that right now, boy, baseball fans are already kind of iffy on you.
Yeah.
It ain't a great time to be bailing out on trying to make your team better.
All right. We're going to take a very quick break. Please don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.